I want to ask a question, and I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you have Christmas lights at home this Christmas, on the tree or somewhere? Christmas lights. Wow. And I was going to say we're not very big on Christmas lights in South Africa. Looks like we are. I'm not sure if your Christmas lights are butterflies and flowers. Not, if you read the what was in the headlines a couple of weeks back, you would have seen the controversy in Durban about this, the Christmas lights down what used to be called West Street, and some official in the electricity department decided in true postmodern manner that we shouldn't have proper Christmas lights because that would be showing favor to Christians. So they had butterflies and flowers put up. And there was such an outcry and phone-ins to radio programs and newspapers that they spent a whole lot of your money and mine taking those lights down and re-putting up stars and bells, which are like very Christmas. We actually in South Africa are not very big on Christmas lights. Maybe it's because of the rolling blackouts threatened by Eskom. But if we go to the United States, and I'm sure we've all seen it on our television screens, they are very big on Christmas lights. And my boys and myself often speak of the experience that we had one year and the privilege we had of being in Aspen, Colorado over Christmas, where to walk or drive through the streets at night was a magical experience. Because there were literally millions of lights on every tree, gatepost, house, all over that city, which kind of set the snow aglow in the night, in the darkness. But John, in his gospel, speaks of a different Christmas light. If you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. We will read just a few verses here about Christmas, about the Christmas light. Reading from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, obviously speaking of Christ. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9. The true light which enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. I just want to answer two questions, deal with two issues this morning. What is the Christmas darkness referred to here? And what is the Christian light? In order for a light to be necessary, it has to be dark. I'm sure you've all known that when you've had a blackout at home and everything goes dark, what do? You rush for light, torches, candles, that lamp that you've been charging for that very eventuality. You look for light in the darkness. And so there has to be darkness before there is a need for light, does there not? And dear friends, if we look back over the history of this world, what do we see? We see empire after empire rising and falling as the human nature of man seeking power over others and for himself keeps revealing itself over and over and over again. Babylon, Assyria, the Greek Empire, which fell. Then the Roman Empire, which rose and fell. Then the Turkish Empire, which rose and fell. Then the British Empire, which rose. I'm not sure if it's fallen yet. I think so. And in all of these rises and falls, dear friends, millions and millions of people's lives disrupted and lost and maimed and broken and killed. In more recent history, we've had the phenomenon of revolutions, the French Revolution. Tens and thousands dying at the guillotine. The American Revolution, a war where tens and thousands lost their lives. The Russian Revolution, even more. And then the First and Second World Wars, which some of you here even experienced and who saw action in that, with its awful ethnic cleansing of 6 million Jews. And today still, the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, where 4 were shot yesterday in an incident in the Gaza Strip. The world is concerned at the moment about the tension between North and South Korea as there's military buildup there. Our history is a history of man's inhumanity to man. No matter how we try and gloss it over, it's the gritty reality. And then economic wars. We've all just been through, and perhaps still just coming out, of a world crash, a world recession. But where did it come from? Well, a complex set of loan and financial schemes that were built by corrupt men and greedy men collapsed and took the whole world down with it. This, dear friends, is Christmas darkness. International trade in drugs, arms, and human trafficking grows by the day. With human trafficking, the fastest growing criminal activity in the world. They say it's a $5 to $8 billion industry. Trafficking in human beings, mainly women, 50% of whom are minors, where 600 to 8,000 of them are smuggled across borders every year. I'm generally a positive and optimistic person, I think. But dear friends, when we take a look at the world, it's not too pretty. It's dark. What about closer to home? Our own continent is ravaged, as we know, by poverty, wars, disease, corruption. And as we gather to celebrate here now, as we speak, there's rape, pillaging, murder, kidnapping happening in Côte d'Ivoire after an election which seems to have failed. And the United Nations is fearing the outbreak of civil war. Sudan and Somalia have been experiencing such factional wars for years, and it's chaos there. And here in our own beautiful country, dear friends, we have the dubious distinction of being the second highest in murder rate in the whole world, and in rape, by far the greatest. We are 1.5 times higher than those who come second. Forget the World Cup. We hold the World Cup in rape, dear friends. 1.5 times more the rate of Seychelles and Australia, which come second. This is darkness. We have a serious drug problem in our country, not just in the world. This week, there was a 380 million rand cocaine haul arrest in Knysna. Would have been a nice Christmas present, 380 million rands. I was in Cape Town a few weeks ago and read the Weekend Argus, and they had a middle page spread on how tick and heroin are tearing the heart out of that beautiful city. And here in our own province, where HIV rates are of the highest in the world, that's darkness as well, people are now robbing AIDS sufferers of their ARVs at clinics because they've concocted a new drug called Woonga, which builds aggression in people, and the police have already found that crime rates are increasing as a result of criminals smoking this Woonga concoction. Our own Careline rehab center. You may be living in comparative peace and a relatively normal life here in Hillcrest, but are you aware that our rehab center here in the middle of Hillcrest is overflowing? It can't cope. And I'm told from witnesses that no longer are our children smoking weed in the parking lots at clubs. They're all sniffing cocaine. It's so readily available. And the Principals Association of South Africa recently expressed deep concern and the increasing likelihood of schools becoming ungovernable as crime, drugs, and teenage sex become rampant. 3 days ago, 2 14-year-olds were arrested for burning to death the person they had hijacked. Not to speak of the pain of alcoholism, divorce, families falling apart, and the terrible impact that has on children's lives for the rest of their lives. Dear friends, this is darkness. Now, I think I know what you may be thinking. One of two things, maybe both of them. Here we are on a Christmas morning, and we brought the family to church to hear about peace and love and joy, and we just sung joy to the world and goodwill among men. And here this preacher is pouring cold water on our joy and spoiling our fun with all this dark and gloomy news. And it's raining as well. Why not bring us some sunshine? Maybe you are also thinking, as I mentioned all these, just a quick skim of some of the realities out there in the world, maybe you were thinking with moral outrage, those wicked people out there, it must be stopped. Well, I'm afraid I'm not finished yet. We've briefly scanned the Christmas darkness of world history, of events on our own continent, in our own country, in our own community. But let's get even closer to home. What about your heart and mine? The Word of God teaches us, dear friends, that all the darkness that we've spoken of this morning has its root deep inside the unbelieving, sinful hearts of human beings. There is nothing new under the sun. The same force from deep within human beings has driven all those things we spoke of and will continue to do so. If you were open in John chapter 1, just turn forward a few pages to John chapter 3, where I just want to share a verse from verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light. Dear friends, that's not people out there. That's your heart, and it's my heart. Keep your finger there and just turn forward a few books to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, where the Apostle Paul speaks the same truth when he speaks of your heart and mine. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Joseph Conrad wrote a famous novel called The Heart of Darkness. Dear friends, that's your heart and mine. Yes, we may not be hijacking and raping and pillaging, and maybe you didn't sniff cocaine last night. But dear friends, the Bible teaches us that you are in the same boat as those, not because of things you did, but because of the attitude of your heart. You know there is a God, but you don't care. You don't live for Him. You don't honor Him as God and give thanks to Him and care about His commands for our lives. You are living a decent life. You may be living from the outside a good life. A nice car, a nice family. You've got Christmas decorations. You are here in church this morning. But your heart is dark. It's in unbelief. It really does not bow the knee to the God of the universe. And that's the darkness Jesus came into the world to deal with. That's the darkness which, when God doesn't by His common grace restrain it, results in all these awful things that we read of in human history. It's the heart that does not receive the Savior. If we go back to John 1, the world did not know Him. Verse 10. Verse 11. He came to His own. That's the Jewish people that should have known Him. And His own did not receive Him. You see, dear friends, Christmas is hugely controversial. It's offensive because it tells us our hearts are dark and sinful. And that is the most offensive, especially in this postmodern world, to tell people they've offended God, they are flawed, they are sinners, they cannot save themselves, is the most offensive thing you can say in the modern world. It's very politically incorrect. But dear friends, it's the very truth upon which Christmas is based. If we don't grasp this darkness, there's no Christmas. It's meaningless. Yes, we can have, and people love, the tinsel, the festivities, the parties, the gifts. Retailers love the business. But Christmas means nothing to you if you cannot acknowledge your need of the Savior. If you cannot acknowledge that your heart is dark and naturally does not seek after God and refuses to obey Him. You see, what I've done so far this morning is what a jeweler does when he wants to sell you a beautiful, shining diamond. He first pulls out a pitch black, dark, usually velvet cloth, and he will lay it on the counter. Why? Well, so that when he pulls out the diamond or the pearl of great price and places it upon this dark velvet, it will shine brightly. And you will notice it, and you will see its glory and its beauty. If he put that beautiful diamond in front of a glass that had bright light, you would not even see it. If you can't acknowledge your sinful state this morning, dear friends, you can't see Jesus. You may be saying, I'm living a decent life. I'm not like all of those people and leaders and drug addicts and rapists. I've got a close family. I'm decent to people. If that's your attitude, dear friend, Christmas is not for you. It's not for you. Because Christmas is about light shining in darkness. And to understand the light of the Word who became flesh, the true light, verse 9, you must first grasp the darkness. May God open our eyes to that truth, that we may love the Savior. And so, secondly, what is the Christian light? I've referred to the darkness as Christmas darkness, because unless we embrace it, Christmas means nothing. Because the Christmas light will mean nothing. So what is the Christmas light? Well, very clearly from our passage, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a person. Verse 9 says, the true light. Notice it does not say one of many true lights or a light. It's the true light, which enlightens every man with the truth of his arrival, was coming into the world. That's Christmas. The true light coming into the world. And later in John chapter 8 and verse 12, when this babe who was in a manger in Bethlehem grew up and began teaching among men, he said these outrageous words. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, either that claim, dear friends, this morning is an outrageous, blasphemous ranting of a madman. Imagine if I came up here this morning and said, hey folks, I am the light of the world. You would arrest me immediately. Duncan would probably floor me here. Because it's crazy to claim that you are not a light, just one of many religious leaders. This is another thing that's hugely controversial and offensive about Christianity, and it's why it's not received, and it's why men don't want to come to the light, because he's the only light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to God But because of Christmas, because of the light, because of Jesus. And it's Him and this truth that we celebrate this morning. Well, how is Jesus light in the darkness? What did He do in order to say, I am the light of the world? Well, if you just turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Those of you who have got your Bibles or pew Bibles open in front of you. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Here we have two pictures, dear friends. We have a picture which we've opened up from the Word of God of men whose hearts are dark, they have foolish hearts, reject the Savior. They do not want Him. They want tinsel and Christmas lights and gifts and festivities. They don't want to acknowledge sin. They don't want to bow the knee to the Savior. And here in this verse we have another contrasted picture that shows a heart that's no longer dark. It's had light shone upon it. And what is that light? It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of this Christmas Savior. You see, dear friends, something has to happen to you if you are to see this light. Your heart has to change. And that's the light that Jesus brought into the world. Your heart, by the Holy Spirit, needs to be new. The Bible calls this being born again. Our actual passage in John 1 spoke of those who are born, not of the flesh or of water, but of God. And these, normally human beings will reject the Savior. And they don't want to come to the light because their deeds are evil. But if they do appeal to the Savior in humility and acknowledge their darkness and say, I am lost, I am undone, I need You. You have done, as the light of the world, what I could not do. You lived a perfect life. God the Father is holy. He demands perfection. The light of the world brought perfection in His life. God is holy. He demands justice. He will judge your sin unless you come to the light. Then He has been judged in your place on that awful cross when the anger of God at your sin and mine fell upon Him in history. Not some mystical event, an actual historic event that is written forever in all the history books and in Scripture. Jesus' mother was told, you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's why He came. He came to bring light into the darkness of sin. And unless your heart is changed, you cannot see these things. Unless God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, shines in your heart and gives you the light of the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus. There are only two kinds of people, the Bible says, seated here this morning. Those who are in darkness, or those who who are in the light. There's no grey. There's no in between at Christmas. Do you not want to see this glorious picture of your heart new, forgiven, convinced of the hope of eternal life, living with meaning and purpose instead of floundering around in the dark, thinking you've got light in the things of this world, but your foolish heart is darkened and you are deceived and you are lost and you are stumbling around in the dark? In reality, that's what God says. Do you not want to come to the light and have the most glorious Christmas you have ever had? Finding Jesus, finding peace, finding forgiveness, finding purpose. Why would you want to do anything else? In Ephesians 5 verse 8 we read, "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Wouldn't it be wonderful if that could be written about you after this service? "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Which group are you? If you are acknowledging your darkness and you want light, please don't just leave it. Speak to someone you know who's a believer. Speak to us after the service. Speak to your parents or your friends who brought you here. Do not let this moment go by. And dear friends, if you are in the light and God has shone in your heart and you do see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, then as Peter says in chapter 2 verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who what? Called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Be grateful this day as you enjoy the festivities. Thank God that He shed this light in your heart, that you know Him, that you're forgiven, that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ, that you are His special possession. You can rejoice and give thanks for that. And then proclaim Him to all who are lost, the excellencies, and walk in the light as He is in the light. The light shone in the darkness. The Christmas darkness and the Christmas light. Shall we pray? Oh God, may Your Spirit so move in us this morning. Here we are as human beings, fallen and sinful from birth. Yet You have shone in our hearts. You have shone in the Scriptures. You have shone by sending Your Savior, the light of the world. And as we meditate quietly before that Savior now, please show us the darkness of our hearts. May we know the grief of offending Him who created us, who gives us daily breath, food, and life. May we feel that offense and grief and hurt, along with the whole history of darkness on this earth. And Lord, once we have felt that, please show us the glorious light in contrast of our dear Savior, who came to save us from our sins. And may we delight in His excellency. And may we be enabled to repent and believe and follow Him with all our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen.